Good morning. Well, if you have your Bible, you can turn to 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 21. And if you're visiting with us, we welcome you. And we would love to help you in any way we can, especially if it's in your relationship with the Lord. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there is one in the pew in front of you, and you can find the passage that we're covering today on page 1198. Now, we invite you to come and read the Bible with us. Some of you may not have grown up in a church or been to a church that teaches directly from the Bible. We'd like to do that because we believe that the Bible is truly God's Word. This is His Word. And, the Bible has 66 books, but it is really one story. It's a story of God's salvation plan unfolded in creation and the fall, and then in His redemptive plan through Jesus. Now, we're in the middle of a series called Fight the Good Fight of Faith, and we're studying the book of 2 Timothy. And this is likely the Apostle Paul's last letter that he wrote, and he did so from a dungeon in Rome. And he's aware that his death is probably coming. Now as you read through the book, or at least as I read through the book, you get this feeling, I mean, maybe none of you, but I'm reading through it, and I just feel like Paul is this general that is writing to a lieutenant in the midst of a war that's raging. And he's telling Timothy, don't give up. Keep pressing forward. Stand firm in courage. Be willing to suffer. Stick it out. Keep working hard. Fight the good fight. And don't go AWOL. What does AWOL mean? Yeah, absent without leave. Leaving your military duty without permission. I don't have any military experience besides knowing some people. But I read that one summer in the motor pool at Fort Bragg, a private said he's going to the store. Another guy responded, here's my card, and asked him to get a couple things for him. Apparently, the private didn't return for about 3 weeks, and he had used that guy's card to get a ticket for a cruise. Now, as far as I know, that private had left his duty without permission. He went AWOL. And yes, as that is somewhat humorous, in all honesty, going AWOL is not funny. It's unacceptable. It's dishonorable. And there's consequences. It's not doing what you have been charged to do. It's not doing what you have been charged to do. Paul is urging Timothy, don't go AWOL. Don't go AWOL. Stick it out and fight the good fight. Then you get to chapter 2, verse 14. And, of course, I get stuck with this section. You know, the letter almost seems to take a tangent. So we're going to read through the whole section here, verses 14 through 21. And then we will come back and discuss it. Ignore that. So you have your Bible with you. Hopefully you have it open. 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 21. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Let's pray as we discuss this. Lord, thank you for bringing us together. I thank you for the body of Christ. And I thank you for any visitors that we have today. I pray that you would guide us as we look over this passage and think about it in our hearts. I pray that you would speak through me, through your Spirit, and speak into our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor Phil covered the first part of chapter 2. He got the good part. It contained powerful images that I accidentally slipped up a moment ago of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. It affirmed Christ's resurrection and God's faithfulness. Then you get to verse 14 and it seems to break away. It's kind of like listening to a symphony and getting to a series of trumpet blasts that don't seem to fit in maybe at first. But it does. So what is this all about? Seems that Paul here is not too concerned about specifics. Besides one small reference, he doesn't focus on the content of any heresies, but rather with how serious they are and how to deal with them and their advocates. And that is what this section is about. It's about correctly handling truth so you may be prepared for good works. In verse 14, Paul says to keep reminding God's people of these things. I believe he's talking about the truth in God's word. This is a task that needs constant attention. Constant attention. For both the followers of Christ then and for us now, we need to be constantly reminded of the truth in God's word. We ought to be reading the word daily. We ought to be encouraging each other with the word, and we ought to be listening to preaching from the word. This is absolutely central to our health as followers of Christ. And then Paul gives a warning. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. We don't really know exactly what he is specifically talking about, but he gives two reasons. He says, it is of no value. So it does no good, quarreling about words. It does no good, and it only ruins those who listen. So it does evil. So he's saying this quarreling about words, it does no good, but instead it does evil. We're going to come back to this quarreling. Now, in the famous verse 15, I'm sure a lot of you have heard it, and it's a little bit of a different version in the new NIV, but Paul begins with, do your best. Do your best. Now, Paul is saying to Timothy, do everything you can with diligence, with zeal, to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Timothy should not just seek God's approval, but he should be the kind of worker who God approves of so that he can present himself to God. Now, I realize that this might just sound like semantics, but it's kind of like when a husband tells his wife, fine, I'll do the dishes so you stop nagging me. And the wife says, no, I want you to want to do the dishes. And the husband says, well, I'm never going to want to do the dishes. That's ridiculous. And the wife says, no, I mean that I want you to want to do the dishes out of love for me, not just so I stop nagging you. And anyway, Paul is telling Timothy, don't just seek God's approval. Be the kind of man that God approves of. Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. So who is this kind of man? Who is the kind of man that God approves of? That's important. Can't just talk about, hey, be that kind of man. Who is this kind of man? So first off, it says he is a worker who is not ashamed. He doesn't need to be ashamed. If you are being the kind of man that God approves of, whether or not any man or woman in this world approves of you, whether or not your boss approves of you, whether or not your kids approve of you, if God approves of you, there is no need to be ashamed. No need. And we know what God approves of because he shows us in his word. Second, it says this kind of man that God approves of is one who correctly handles the word of truth. Correctly handles the word of truth. So, how do you correctly handle the word of truth? Well, how do you correctly handle anything that is powerful and important? With great care and humility and integrity. That's how you do it. See, the word of God has, and we all know this, it's been taken out of context so many times, and in case you haven't guessed, it's going to continue to be taken out of context in this world. And whether you are studying it on your own or if you are teaching it, you need to be extremely careful. It's important. Now, when teaching, I try to be very careful with what I say. Try to be very careful with what I say. Teachers can teach with authority when they leave the authority with Scripture. But we must be careful to think about also how others might be interpreting what we say. And, you know, that's for all of us. That's for teachers and those of us who aren't teaching, those of us who are just talking to our friends or family. We got to be careful to think about how others might understand what we're saying. Unfortunately, we can't just, you know, explain a verse in our own words or explain it with our own thoughts and just leave it at that without taking the time to process how it might be heard by the receiver. We must correctly handle the word of truth with great care and humility. And we must seek God's help to live it out with integrity as well. Otherwise, who's going to listen if we're not living it out with integrity? So I believe that correctly handling the word of truth is about sound teaching and sound living. Now, in opposition to correctly handling the word of truth is godless chatter in verse 16. Now Paul writes, avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. And I don't think this godless chatter, folks, is just talking with your friends about things that aren't in the Bible. For instance, you know, have you seen the Dodgers lately? They're doing amazing. They have the best record in the MLB. They look awesome. I know for some of you that may just be godless chatter, but I don't think that's what is, you know, I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. And I think that this goes right along with the quarreling about words that he mentioned in verse 14. What I think this has to do with for us is avoiding to fruitlessly engage in controversy on their level. Avoid to fruitlessly engage in controversy on their level. Proverbs 9:7 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. And Proverbs 26:4 says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Now this, when I think about this, it reminds me of a TV show that you may or may not be familiar with, and you may not find this next clip funny at all, and I apologize, but it's from The Office. I don't know if you've seen The Office or heard of The Office. It's a different kind of humor. Now, in this show, Dwight, he is the one in the clip with the glasses. He's an easy target for Jim, who also works in the office with him, and he's the other one in the clip. Now, in this particular scene, they are in the warehouse in the building. Now Peter comes in. Peter wasn't even here, and he hears TV show, office, and he comes into the sanctuary. In this particular scene, the staff is hosting a garage sale in the warehouse. So we're going to watch this. It's about quarreling, kind of.
What is this?
How did those get out?
I'm sorry. Professor Copperfield's miracle legumes?
I was in Jamaica, and I got lost. And it was getting dark this one night, and then out of nowhere, this guy comes with a cart, and he's selling these. Dwight, he told me things about myself that there's no way he could have known.
That's a common swindler's trick.
Probably. So I buy some. I turn the corner. I feel like an idiot. So I go back to get my money. He was gone.
So you want to sell me magic beans?
Correction, I do not want to sell you Professor Copperfield's miracle legumes.
Nice try. No, correction. Terrible try.
Jim, put those away.
Really sorry. Pam must have put those up.
All right, just out of curiosity, what were the claims for those beans?
They're legumes, Dwight. And you're just going to make fun of me, so why would I... You know what? This ends now.
Nice.
Not bad, right?
I can't really tell, but...
Nice.
I know, right? What the...
Oh, my God.
That's impossible.
It is, right? I mean, it's impossible.
All right, I'll take them.
They're probably worthless.
Probably.
Leave the telescope.
I started with a thumbtack and traded my way to a telescope. But in a way, the most valuable thing here wasn't the telescope at all. No. It was this packet of beans. So I traded the telescope for it. And I can just go buy another telescope.
Excuse me. Now, these kind of pranks, they happen in the office a lot. And Jim wants to make a fool of Dwight, and he uses foolishness to do it. Now, if Dwight were to ignore him and walk away, Dwight would look wise, right? He would be wise to do that, to ignore Jim and walk away. Instead, he continues to try to engage Jim according to his folly, and he becomes the fool himself, right? Now, Duncan is going to get into this more next week, as verses 23 and 24 say, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. That's... I'm past that. There we go. That's the one. Duncan's going to get into that next week. So he's going to have a little more opportunity to talk about the why. But here's part of it. Now, the office example is silly. It's a silly example. Thank you for bearing with me. But Paul is writing about incorrect handling of the truth. That's what he's focusing on. Now, Paul gives examples of the spreading gangrene in verses 17 and 18. He says, among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Now, I think Paul is saying that the godless chatter is teaching about things that aren't true. That's what the godless chatter is. Be careful to correctly handle the word of truth so you don't end up teaching things that aren't true. If you get into quarreling about words or godless chatter, talking about things based on experience or feelings that isn't grounded in the word of truth, or you're not being careful with what you're teaching, then what proceeds is this downward progression towards ungodliness. Teaching of that nature spreads like gangrene, like tissue decay. Now, Hymenaeus, he was also mentioned earlier in 1 Timothy 1, where Paul mentions him having suffered shipwreck with regard to his faith. Now, as we read, and as you can imagine, wandering away from what is good and true, whether it's an incorrect teaching about the resurrection, as mentioned here, or something else, it's not just bad for that particular person. Okay, it's bad for everyone that's surrounding him. As verses 14 and 18 say, it ruins those who listen, and it may destroy the faith of some. Sin rarely just affects you and your relationship with God alone. It typically affects others as well, because in the least, your relationship with God directly affects those who are around you. So don't go AWOL like Hymenaeus and Philetus. Don't get caught up in quarreling about words or godless chatter, which may very well ruin those who listen and destroy the faith of some. Instead, be like the worker that God approves of, who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. So maybe I'm making you nervous about all the false teaching out there, but there's comfort. There's comfort that Paul provides. It's really comfort that God provides. Hear this promise from God. Despite all the false teaching out there, despite all the cults and other religions or movements that either claim their own truth or they twist God's truth, and despite our own sin, verse 19 says, God's solid foundation stands firm. Amen? Even when others screw it up, and even when people twist it, and we're not careful enough with it, God's word stands firm, and his church stands firm, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And it's sealed with these two truths in verse 19. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So we aren't sure ourselves. We don't know everyone who belongs to the Lord and everyone who doesn't. Okay? God knows. God knows. God knows if you're sitting here today and you haven't enlisted with him, but he knows if you're going to. He knows if you have. The Lord knows those who are his, and if you are his, if you confess his name, if you have put your faith in Jesus, you need to turn away from wickedness. Because whether you confess his name or not, God's solid foundation stands firm. So I urge you, don't puff up your chest and embrace your pride and selfishness. Don't get caught up in taking care of number one. Humble yourself before him, because he is the creator, he is the savior, he is the king, and he is our Lord. Paul now moves to finish this section with talking about holy instruments. He writes in verses 20 and 21, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Now, if you're like me, maybe your first reaction is, what's wrong with wood and clay? I like wood and clay. God created wood and clay too. So, I don't want to be all fancy like the gold and silver. I want to be down to earth like the wood and clay. Not quite. So a couple commentaries I read said that the wood and clay instruments for common use in a large household really have the tone of dishonor, disgrace, or shame. Perhaps for such a purpose as removing excrement or garbage. So, just to be clear, there's nothing wrong with wood and clay, but in this instance, It's not something you want to be like. So if we are cleansed from the dishonorable, disgraceful, or shameful use by the work of the Holy Spirit, then we are made holy. That means when we enlist with the Lord, when we sign up with the Lord, He sends us the Holy Spirit to help set us apart from the world. Why does He do this? Well, He does this because He loves us. And He wants to help us so that we may be useful to the Master and prepared to do any good work. Okay, what kind of good work? Any good work. Any good work. You know, that could be helping out with the youth group, helping me out with the youth group. That could be mentoring students. It could be being a greeter on Sunday morning. Could be helping with the hospitality team during coffee hour. Could be helping with teaching or assisting a teacher. Any good work. And actually, if you look on the communication card, there are all sorts of good works that you can sign up for. And put this in the offering plate later or bring it back to the communication table. It gives you, I circle it to remind myself, count me in. It could just be saying, you know, good works to sign up for. So there's all sorts of things. So, even though this seems like Paul is taking a tangent in this section, that it's like a bunch of trumpet blasts in a symphony, I think that his point to Timothy and to us is to not go AWOL. Don't get AWOL. Don't get caught up in this stuff, the quarreling, the false teaching, but instead oppose it and avoid it so that we may be useful instruments as we stick it out and we fight the good fight of faith. Like Pastor Phil said a couple weeks ago, maybe you haven't enlisted yet. Maybe you haven't enlisted yet. Maybe you're not there. Do you understand that no matter who you are, that you are a sinner, and that our sin separates us from God and earns us eternal death? Do you understand that nothing we can do can earn salvation because of the sin within us? Do you understand that God loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to come to earth and live a perfect life and die a bloody death on a cross as He took our sin upon Himself? Do you know that Jesus defeated sin and death and rose on the third day and is alive right now? Do you know that all we need to do is accept His gift of salvation, that all we need to do is turn away from our sin and turn towards God in faith, trusting that Jesus took our penalty for our sin? It's not about what we can do, because we can't do a whole lot. It's about what God did through Jesus on our behalf. It's time to enlist. The Lord already knows those of you who are His. Maybe you don't realize yet, but I encourage you, don't wait. You know, if you're interested about enlisting, you can check. I would like to know about becoming a follower of Jesus. Or you can talk to Pastor Phil or myself or one of the elders or whoever brought you after service. Don't wait. It's time to commit. Time to enlist. It's time to commit. For everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Have you gone AWOL in a way? Maybe you're here and you feel like you've gone a little AWOL. You can let us know on the communication card. You can say, I'd like to receive a call from a pastor or an elder, or put a note, something that we can pray about. Communicate with us. Let us know how we can help you and encourage you to get you back on course. And if you haven't already, it's time to express what God has done for you through baptism. You can even, you know, write that, I would like to know more about baptism, or you can write a note to us down here. We're having a baptism service on September 10th. There's already a couple students that I'm planning on baptizing. And there's others that are getting baptized. Now, if you haven't yet and you're a follower of Christ, what's holding you back? Talk to us. It's time to express what God has done for you through baptism. So you see, when you enlist with the Lord, even though you'll be battling against sin the rest of your life, and even though you'll be battling against the temptation to go AWOL, the Lord declares you as righteous. He declares it as a judge. That's how he sees you, through the death of Jesus. In the Holy Spirit, he comes. He begins to set you apart from the world. He helps you grow more like Jesus. He helps you to refrain from foolish, ungodly argumentation that goes against the truth. And instead, he helps you to correctly handle the word of truth. He helps you to become the worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. And he sets you apart for special purposes so that you may be useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. So that when you're writing your last words, you can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. As the ushers come forward for the offering, let's pray.